The mystery behind Europe's deadly E. coli outbreak is finally solved, or so the Germans say.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Steve Tiotakis. Blame the bean sprouts after all. German health authorities had their doubts for a while, but they now say they've definitively identified the cause of the deadly E. coli outbreak that's killed at least 29 people and caused financial havoc for farmers. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
With locally grown sprouts labelled the culprit, the German authorities now say tomatoes, cucumbers and lettuce are safe to eat. It'll be a huge relief to vegetable growers across the EU, who lost millions of dollars in exports after consumers stopped buying their produce. A problem made worse by a Russian ban on all fresh European vegetables, which has now been lifted in return for documents certifying their safety. The European Commission President, José Manuel Barroso, says this will happen today or tomorrow.
A system of certification of the vegetable safety by the European Commission will be put in place without any delay. We intend, in fact, to send these certificates today or tomorrow.
Sprouts had been suspected before, but tests at the German bean sprout farm earlier this week couldn't find any traces of E. coli. Now Germany's Disease Control Centre says the pattern of illness indicates that those who fell ill did eat bean sprouts. It's just that the original infected batch had probably already been thrown out. I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
There goes Wall Street backsliding again. Turns out yesterday's rally was the exception, and the numbers have returned to their southerly course. The Dow has carved off 136 points, more than 1%. If this keeps up, the blue chips are headed for their longest slump since 2002, six down weeks in a row. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are also more than 1% lower this hour. Turkey goes to the polls this weekend, and Sunday's election will be watched closely as the first democratic election in the region since the turmoil that swept across the Middle East. Turkey's ruling party has been in power for almost a decade, and it's widely expected to stay in control because of one key factor, the economy. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports from Turkey.
Here on the streets of Istanbul, you could easily think that Turkish politicians aren't engaged in a battle of ideologies, but in a battle of the bands. Hey, hey. Ahmet Gümüş, who's a campaign volunteer, is here to drum up votes for the ruling AKP party. He flips through campaign brochures, showing me what the party's accomplished. He says, we've built roads, inflation is down, Europe and the Middle East are investing here. Turkey's economy is growing at 9%, which is roughly the same rate as China. Inflation is under control. Ordinary Turks, who once had to get around the country by bus, can now afford to fly from one of the dozen or so new airports that have been built. Ali Çarkoğlu is a political scientist at Koç University in Istanbul.
And almost everywhere you can take a plane ticket and fly in within an hour or so. And when you get on a plane, you see that, you know, quite modest background Turkish peasants are also using the plane.
And the AKP is quick to take credit. Its election ads boast of how much things like education and healthcare have improved. As some voters are afraid the party wants to lead the country in a more Islamic and less secular direction. But Çarkoğlu says economically, you can't deny that it's delivered the goods.
On the economic front, I can think of no significant group, basically, who would make a time-wise comparison and say, I'm worse off.
But Turkey has been through a lot of boom and bust cycles in the past, and many people say it's due for a downturn. Here in Istanbul, though, and in much of the rest of the country, voters seem to be buying the party's economic pitch. Bilal Deniz owns a jewelry store. He never really bothered to vote before because he thought all politicians were corrupt. But he says after the last 8 years, you can't deny the current government has been good for Turkey's economy and good for him. So on Sunday, he'll vote for the first time for the AKP. In Istanbul, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Parades and parties are going on all over the country for Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. This year, Sally Herships reports, sponsors are doing more than donating to Gay Pride. They're selling it.
Crate & Barrel's CB2 division has already sold out of the $20 poster it made for Gay Pride Month. Marta Calle is brand director of CB2.
Really, it's not driving any sales for us. We're selling 1,000 posters. That's not a lot of money based on the kind of volume that we usually drive.
Kaya says a lot of CB2's customers and workers are gay, and the company wanted to go beyond the typical sponsorship. So did Old Navy. The retailer is selling a new line of colorful T-shirts bearing the slogan, Love Proudly. Tim Calkins teaches marketing at Northwestern. He says retailers want to attract gay and lesbian customers.
It's an influential base. It's a group that spends. It's a wonderful group to reach out to.
And for brands, it's all about reaching out.
Because it does say you're inclusive and appreciative of diversity and willing to be open and welcoming.
But Calkin says as more brands align themselves with a gay community, it gets harder to stand out. And it takes new approaches, like selling T-shirts and posters. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Finally, if you're riding a bicycle in New York City, you always need to be in a bike lane. At least that's what a police officer told Casey Neistat when he handed the cyclist a $50 traffic ticket. Neistat is protesting. With a video he posted on YouTube this week, it shows him riding in bike lanes around the Big Apple and plowing into traffic barrels, delivery trucks, and other obstructions. The sound you'll hear as this clip ends abruptly is Neistat crashing his bike into a construction barricade.
So I got a ticket for not riding in the bike lane, but often there are obstructions that keep you from properly riding in the bike lane.
Ouch, that's got to hurt. The filmmaker saves his best scene for last. It shows him barreling down the street and plowing squarely into the back of a parked car blocking the bike lane. Not just any car, it's a police cruiser. He says they ought to refund his ticket. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Here's an idea to save the environment. Biking by any means necessary.
Even if she's wearing a beautiful Kate Spade dress and high-heeled shoes, she's still going to get on her bike and go across town because she loves adventure and loves exploring, and that's just her spirit.
Marketers are taking note. I'm Tess Vigeland, pimping the two-wheeled lifestyle. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.